But she got a letter from somebody who was complaining to her, okay, yeah, you're working on abolition, but what are you doing about women's suffrage? It's a common thing in the activist movement, you know, you're not doing enough for this. But, and she wrote back to that person and she said, if I can do no more, let my name stand. Let me put my name on this cause and let my name stand among those who are willing to bear ridicule and criticism for this most important of causes, in the hopes that when even some small victory is achieved, that I may share in it. And that's what I say to all of you.
You're listening to a forum on the impeachment of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, held last week in Binghamton, New York. This is Unwelcome Guests, and you're tuned to WEOS Geneva, WXXE Fenner Syracuse, 88.1 Ithaca Community Radio, Free Radio Santa Cruz, KRFP Moscow, Free Radio Olympia, KQRP Salida, WGDR Plainfield, KWMD Kasilof Anchorage, WZKW Kingsville, KOWA Olympia, WRFN Nashville, WUOW Oneonta, KRBS Oroville, WKNH Keene, Radio Veronica US, WYQZ Warrenton Bealeton, KSOW Cottage Grove, or WMRW Warren.
It's my pleasure now to introduce Dan Lamb. For the past 13 years, Dan has worked in government and politics on the local, state, and federal level. He presently serves as the district representative for our congressman, Maurice Hinchey. And over the last 10 years, he has advised Congressman Hinchey on a whole series of issues concerning the 22nd Congressional District, working in Broome, Delaware, Tompkins, and Tioga counties. So Dan, welcome.
At this point, I'm going to give up hope that Maurice is going to walk in the door and surprise me. But it's just a thrill to be here on behalf of Maurice. I feel like Paul McCartney got sick and I got asked to play bass with the Beatles. John, I know you're a great friend of Maurice's and that you have done some very important work with him on behalf of a free and open media. As most of you probably know, there's probably no more important issue to Maurice than as he's been in Congress and fighting for a diverse and objective form of media in this country to guarantee the dissemination of good news, real news, hard news, complete news, objective news. We need it. We saw what happened without it. We're seeing what happens without it, and that remains a very important issue for Maurice. And it's good to be on stage with another redhead. And Elizabeth, it's an honor to be with you. I understand we have a similar last name in your past, so to think that we might be related is interesting, and I'm a big fan. And to Jack Gilroy and George Hassler, Maurice probably doesn't have any better friends in this area than the two of you. He greatly admires the work you do for peace and justice, and we're very grateful for the work that you do. Now, I hope it's clear that I'm not here to, in any way, to debate whether George W. Bush deserves impeachment. Maurice has spoken often on record on this issue. He does believe that this is the most impeachable president in our nation's history, and he has not wavered from that position. To the extent possible, I want to familiarize you with Maurice's thinking on this issue and offer some thoughts to you on why this issue hasn't gone further in Congress and why there is a lack of appetite in Congress for this issue. Now, first, I do want to say that Maurice never thought twice about coming here tonight when I first mentioned it to him that this event was going to take place. He thought it was a good idea and he wanted to be here. He greatly appreciates the work that the peace activists in this area do. He considers you a very close and dear friends in a fight that just is ongoing. So he regretted having to cancel on coming out here because of a family medical matter. And I've had a few of those in my time working for him, and he's let me go, so I'm going to let him go tonight, and I'm happy to be here on behalf of him. This is definitely democracy in action with a small d. all of you for coming here tonight are doing a very important thing, and Maurice is greatly appreciative of you for doing that. You have been our allies and standing up for this self-proclaimed, or standing up against this self-proclaimed wartime president, the decider-in-chief, and you deserve more than an empty chair here tonight, and so I'm glad to be here. And it is an honor to be here with our distinguished guests. You are patriots, as it was mentioned earlier. This is a very patriotic thing to do. We shouldn't think twice about that. We should be waving flags. We're doing the right thing here. We should be having this discussion. I do want to just refer to a few notes that I had put together for this event, and I'm sure more interesting things will come up during the question and answer following, but I do want to just read a few things for you about what I would call the appetite for impeachment. That's what we're talking about here tonight in Congress. It's crucial to building a coalition in Congress capable of moving impeachment forward. The impeachable offenses of this administration that we know and understand are out there, and they've been presented here tonight. But amazingly enough, there does not seem to be a widespread, widely understood movement out in the American public for impeachment across this country. It's indeed significant that a July 2007 poll of 1,100 Americans found 45% supported bringing impeachment proceedings, beginning them anyway. However, more opposed that, 46% opposed doing such, and 9% are undecided. Other polls that ask the straight-up question, should the president be impeached, generally come in around 30%. Do you support impeaching this president? It's a different question as opposed to asking, would you support impeaching this president if it was documented through the process of investigation? So that's important to keep in mind. This presidency will undoubtedly go down as a historic failure because of the invasion and botched occupation of Iraq. And now Maurice is careful not to call this a war. It's an invasion and botched occupation, and we shouldn't make the mistake of repeating the mantra that it's somehow a war. What Iraq has shown us, what Katrina has taught us about the state of Bush's homeland security, the intelligence failures surrounding 9/11 have all convinced us that impeachment is a viable thing to talk about, and it's certainly assured that this presidency will go down as an infamous presidency. But when 45% of the American people say that impeachment proceedings should start, it's because they recognize that we have to ask, I should say, do they recognize the specific requirements of impeachment, or is it because they've come to recognize Bush as the elitist coward who continues to send other people's kids to fight a war, I put that in quotations, of choice, in a military operation that has failed so miserably, and he's too pompous to admit that it was indeed a mistake. We want him gone, and we want him gone now, and a lot of Americans just plain don't care how. They want him gone. As someone told me today, he's so frustrated with this administration, and he says, look, they impeached Clinton, why can't you guys impeach this guy? I understand that. I mean, the aspect of impeachment, the movement for impeachment, has a component of emotion, and that is an emotional argument, and I understand that. But for us, the short answer to that is when we start measuring ourselves by the likes of Newt Gingrich or Tom DeLay or any of the other clowns that are around for that impeachment proceeding in the 1990s, we've got real problems. That's not how the Democrats want to be portrayed right now. It's not how they want to roll. And we're not going to go that direction. Today's New York Times tells us General Sanchez, the former top commander of the American forces in Iraq, calls Bush's handling of the war incompetent and said the result is a nightmare with no end in sight. That was on the front page of the Times today. And this is only the latest general to take issue with their former employer. So it makes us that much more disgusted with this president's actions and probably tips folks to say, do something, anything, to get rid of this dangerous and disastrous president. Over 3,800 American troops have died, as was mentioned earlier, the cost of this war are astronomical. We put them at about $12 billion a month, with a long-term cost being close to $2 trillion by the time we've paid off so much of the debt and taken care of the veterans who are coming back here. Probably close to a million. It could be close to a million Iraqi dead. Yeah. So when people are asked, do you think there is justification for Congress to begin impeachment of President Bush at this time? As I mentioned earlier, those who say a definite yes right now is about 36% in some polls. If they're asked, in your view, what are the specific things that President Bush has done to make you think impeachment proceedings should begin? And this is an open-ended question. 39% say the war in Iraq, non-specific, just the war in Iraq and his handling of it, because it has been such a dismal failure. We are indeed frustrated with this president. This frustration, as much as we might wish otherwise, has not yet manifested into a national mandate for impeachment. The reasons behind this are mystifying for us here. They're mystifying to me. I'm not a sociologist. I won't try to play one, but I have some thoughts, and I've talked to Maurice extensively about this. And it could have everything to do with 9/11 and the insult that was felt across this country by this attack. Too many people felt a desire for revenge and fell for George W. Bush's tough talk. To our everlasting astonishment, our country reelected this president with a record vote count. Some 62 million Americans voted for this guy for reelection. And this was long after the fraudulent case for impeachment was made, including perhaps the most impeachable offense of all, which was lying to the United States Congress in a State of the Union speech in 2003, the famous 16 little words when the president cited British intelligence about yellowcake uranium, information that ran counter to the CIA's statements to the president as well. They knew full well within their own administration that this citing of the British intelligence was erroneous, but they went ahead with it. So the real question is, before us may have much to do with why impeachment isn't moving forward. It's a tough question for members of Congress who gave Bush the authorization for war. Now, we'll remind you, Maurice Cinci was not one of those. It's certainly a tough question. It's certainly a tough question for the members. It's certainly a tough question for the media, who played up the Iraq threat, like it was some sort of coming attraction, with these graphics and this fear-mongering that took place. And of course, it's a tough question for everyone who voted to re-elect this president. It requires some introspection before they can turn around and say, why did I do that? And why do I now want to impeach this guy? And I believe that the president did indeed hijack people's emotional reaction to 9/11. I don't think I'm telling you anything, but I think it's important to note that this president did hijack people's sentiments and move this country in a direction that it wouldn't have moved otherwise if he hadn't played up the fear card so much. Maurice, you, and we vocally oppose the invasion of Iraq. But sadly, Bush scared too many people into supporting his wartime agenda. And it just may be that many of these people, our fellow citizens, aren't ready to come to terms with their own complicity and call for impeachment. That's my guess. And the congressional terrain is what I want to talk about. And the Democratic Congress has delivered on a series of legislative achievements this year, including some very important things that have been languishing for years, like increasing the minimum wage, new lobbying and ethics rules, an overhaul of student loan programs. And we're in a deep fight for extending health care for 10 million children and a new energy policy. These are things that directly matter to working families and have gone unaddressed by Bush's rubber stamp Republican Congresses. It's new and an entirely different game right now. The legislative fight goes on. Levels of oversight unfamiliar to the Bush administration have been effective in scrutinizing everything from spending in Iraq to the politicization of the Department of Justice. Gonzales' resignation was caused by Democratic oversight. The destructive tenures of Rumsfeld and Roe are welcome outcomes of the Democratic takeover of Congress. So when we talk about impeachment, and the subject does, again, deserve attention, we have to keep in mind that history has shown that impeachment is a strange beast, a combination of thinking about the Constitution, politics, and emotions, and precedent. And this event has addressed many of these, and I primarily want to talk about politics, because I'm the politician on this stage, and I work for, obviously, a politician who's been around for quite a while and has quite a few views on this matter. It's difficult for me to conclude in the next year that we'd be able to bring the public will, the American people, at least a majority, to the point where they understand the high crimes and misdemeanors that have been committed. Now listen, I'm not saying they haven't been committed, and Maurice Hinchey hasn't said they haven't been committed, but we have got a convincing job to do. We have got a...
We're doing it,
but we need this to happen across the country. It's great to have it here in Binghamton. We love this happening here in Binghamton, but there are places in the country who need this to happen badly. And I'll get to that, and I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. So why doesn't it happen? The answer has several components, not the least of which is that we have a speaker who has been a terrific leader, who has broken the glass ceiling for women in Congress and has become the most powerful woman in the history of our country. And she made a promise and an aggressive agenda when she was campaigning in 2006 to do a lot of great things that she has come through on. But that agenda specifically did not include impeachment. And we all knew that. All of us knew that. If you paid attention to the news, you watched 60 Minutes, she was upfront about this in 2006. And she made a pledge. She made a pledge on 60 Minutes. Now, there's no need to hiss. I'm just citing the history here. These are facts. We can get to opinion in a minute. But these are the facts, so please, bear with me as I go over the facts. She was asked, is impeachment going to be on the table when you're Speaker of the House of Representatives? And she said, no, it's not. She made a pledge. She was asked, is that a pledge? She said, yes, that's a pledge. This was in October 2006. All of us knew that. And to my knowledge, not a single person called our office asking Maurice not to vote for Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House. I take a lot of phone calls. She put that out there. And it matters. And I'm saying this because it does matter. She is the Speaker of the House of Representatives. And she has to honor the pledges that she's made. Now, if somehow impeachment were to go through, we have to think about how would Nancy Pelosi, assuming the presidency, go over? She would have to, of course, take the presidency because she's third in line as Speaker of the House of Representatives, meaning we would impeach George Bush, good idea, impeach Dick Cheney, good idea, install Nancy Pelosi, a woman who pledged that she would not do this as president, a woman from San Francisco who the right wing would have a field day with, installing herself as president. These are things we just have to think about, and I'm laying them out there for you. Secondly, what we're hearing here in the 22nd Congressional District simply is not happening elsewhere to the extent that we need it to happen. As John has written, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, George Mason, and even their compatriots believe that impeachment should be an organic process driven by public outrage over executive excess. They intended, this is good. They intended that the people would raise the call for accountability and that the federal legislators closest to the grassroots, members of the House, would take it up. And that's what needs to happen for this to go forward. You have got one vote in Maurice Hinchey, but we're still about 200 shy of a simple majority on the subject. That's just the facts. You have to realize that members of Congress do not go to the Capitol to take directions from other members. You have, in effect, 435 very healthy egos. People are used to being leaders in the community, presidents of their class, presidents of various agencies within their district. They're used to being leaders. They don't go to Congress to be told what to do for their district. They go to Congress to listen to their district and act on their behalf. So this has to be a grassroots effort. This has to be something, as John wrote, an organic process
driven at the local level. Elsewhere, it's just not registering enough for impeachment, for the impeachment equation to compute. And I want to say, frustration or anger towards Maurice over this is misplaced. Maurice is not a one-man majority. He gets this. He knows that he must make the most of every hour that he serves in Washington, and what he said publicly is he's not going to push for something he doesn't think is going to move forward. And we may disagree on the cost of this. If impeachment were to move forward, now this is another thing I'm just asking you to think about, and we may disagree, and hopefully we'll have a good discussion about this in a minute. You need me to wrap up? All right, I just want to make this one other point. But if impeachment were to go forward and fail, this president would have one more moment where he's beat Congress, one more reason to think that he's untouchable, one more reason to think that he could go and push forward his agenda and his plan for Iraq and perhaps Iran and all sorts of things that we don't want to embolden him, to use one of his favorite terms, to do. I mean, there is such a thing as an impeachment dividend. If it fails, this president's going to gain an impeachment dividend that's going to make him feel a little taller in his shoes, and we don't need that. And it's worth considering what that might have, because for every action, there is a counteraction. We need to consider that. So, I know that this, in Maurice's opinion, and I did speak to him about this on Monday, that if he were to beat impeachment, if we were to somehow introduce this and have it fail by a large margin, which right now it looks like it would be an undeserved gift and just might be enough for President to bolster his showdowns and remaining fights. So, Maurice, I want to mention one last thing and then I'll get off the stage. Sit down, anyway. Maurice has joined Senator Feingold in doing something that is a step towards impeachment and introducing resolutions of censure of the president. And this is something that is a constructive mechanism to move the Congress to give constituents across this country something to talk to their members about. Say, hey, why aren't you on the Hinchey resolution? Why aren't you on the Feingold resolution? Because we need some company on these resolutions right now. We've only got 22 co-sponsors. And if that is sort of a trial balloon on how much support there is in Congress for impeachment, we need to look at this and ask people to sign on. Because as The Nation magazine editorialized, this censure effort is the first step towards impeachment. It should be looked at that way. It complements that. And that is Maurice's thinking. Let's get the conversation going. Okay, so you're not ready to impeach the president. Well, look at this. And he lays out in his censure resolutions with Senator Feingold all the reasons that have been discussed here tonight. And this is a constructive thing to do, given our circumstances. And I ask you to look at these things. They're on our website. I'd be happy to tell you more about them if you want to call me in the office. But that's something that Maurice believes is a very useful tool at this time. So I thank you for listening and look forward to your questions.
Thank you, Dan. Now I will turn the podium over to Jack Gilroy. He's a well-known peace activist, a well-known figure here in Binghamton. He has been particularly active in his work to close down the School of the Americas. Absolutely. And he's been active also in education and has brought anti-war programs to primary and secondary school children in the area. So I welcome Jack here.
I already got the high sign from Gene to try to keep it short, because we really do want to get into some interesting items here, and especially, you know, what Dan said, I think, is really very important for all of us, that if Maurice is looking for a local situation to occur, as Tip O'Neill said, all politics is local, here it is, it's in Binghamton, we're starting something, and let's get it spread around the country. Let's really do it. We'll be saying a few things here in a minute or two about local, what is going on here actively, because actually Tompkins County has been giving great praise here by the famous John Nichols of The Nation magazine, and the first county that that has ever had a resolution to impeach the President of the United States. And in a little while, we're going to have a couple people from Ithaca come up and tell you briefly about how they go about doing that in a job for us here in Binghamton, and hopefully to spread around the nation. I'm here for Tim Griffin, and we feel very badly about this. It was just late this afternoon, 4 o'clock, that George Hassler called and said that Tim wouldn't be able to come. I think those of you who live locally here know that Tim is really quite ill. And for those of you who pray, please pray for Tim. He thought he would be here. He's been sick for some time, but he had to go to the hospital this afternoon. Yeah, he was that bad. So think about him. Tim, just a great guy, drafted into the Vietnam War. And you know by looking at Tim, the damage that he took with the shrapnel, that he still carries, of course, the scars of that horrendous war, the Vietnam War. He's been such an individual with such great strength fighting against the war ever since that we really do appreciate Tim and all he has done for the country, the county, his home city of Binghamton. Some of you people, men and women who are here who should be in the Veterans for Peace, believe me, if you've been in the military, it's time now to begin taking action. The Veterans for Peace are a powerful, excellent group around the nation, and we have Stu here to lead us. A few years ago when the war first started, when we marched down on Memorial Day or Veterans Day or St. Patrick's Day with the parade, with the banner that says that said very briefly, support the troops, bring them home. We were booed, razzed, cheered at, etc., until 2 years ago. And all of a sudden, there were people who began to clap a little bit. And then last year, tremendous applause. This year, people crawling out and saying, yes, bring them home. Bring them home. There's a major change going on. And impeachment would be a wonderful change. Bring them home. For those of us locally, I think for sure Tim Griffin would drive by the federal building different times. I'm sure he still does. And see not just the clones who are the major organizers of the event, but many individuals, Jack Sexton, and Hope, you know, the various groups around standing there in rain and sunshine and snow and cold. Every Monday afternoon at 4, 4:30, you'll find them out there standing tall. And people who used to give the one-digit, line, Ann Herman, who was one of our great local activists, Ann used to wave to them and say, thank you for the half peace sign. Now they are coming by. They're honking their horns and saying, right on, go with it. So this is what Maurice Henchy has to follow. Maurice has to look at what's going on, not just in Tompkins County, what's going on in Kingston, but what's going on here in Binghamton. We want impeachment. We want it now. A good friend of ours, a Unitarian, many Unitarians, of course, Unitarians are major around here for getting things done. A Unitarian friend, an atheist, said to Tim last year, you know, we hear about the growing Teachers for Peace starting up here, and you have the Veterans for Peace and all kinds of groups. What about the clergy? Lynn Bjorkman said every clergy member in almost every church around the country is some sort of peace group, but they have to come together. They're a power. They're a power to be reckoned with. At Fort Benning, Georgia, where the most spirit of any action throughout the year occurs, every year at the gates of Fort Benning is where the spirit is, whether you're a believer or a non-believer. You feel the spirit there. Clergy for Peace will be there meeting interfaith people from around the country. Tim is going to be there. Lynn Bjorkman, the retired Presbyterian minister from Owego, will be there. These two guys are leading a group which I firmly believe will be a national organization. But what we'd like to do now is have a couple of Ithaca people come up. John Hamilton, Alexis Alexander, if you would please come up and make some remarks about how you went about achieving what you did and how maybe other communities around the country could do the same thing.
It's very exciting for John and I to be with you this evening to share our story of the impeachment petition drive that we conducted in Tompkins County this past spring. Hopefully our story will help you here in Broome County and inspire you as you continue your efforts towards impeachment. I imagine that many of you are where we were in Tompkins County just 8 months ago, facing this extremely important yet very daunting issue of impeachment and thinking, what can and should we do? Because as has been discussed tonight, there's so much negativity around the concept of impeachment. And you might think, oh yeah, it's easy in Ithaca because it's a progressive town. But even there, we experienced a lot of negativity towards what we were doing. So we believe that our experience and success underscores the importance of not giving in to the resistance and negativity that clouds the impeachment issue today. The idea for an impeachment resolution emerged last February while we were planning a countywide peace march and rally for March 17th to commemorate the four-year anniversary of the Iraq War. The organizing group was committed to having this march be more than just a regular peace rally marking yet another sad year. We wanted to turn the energy and activism potential created at the rally into something truly active by having some tangible outcome for the event. When impeachment was suggested as an idea, you could have heard a pin drop in the room of organizers. Many thought it was too controversial and too divisive. But after a few weeks of tossing around various ideas of what we could do for an action, the group came to a consensus that an impeachment petition sent a strong message concerning an underlying reality that pervades this war, that allowing this administration to be unaccountable for its illegal activities sets a dangerous precedent for the potentially illegal actions of future administrations. We found out that we had gauged the community correctly. At the rally, it was quickly apparent that our community wanted to do something, to really get their hands on something, and not just get together and feel angry or depressed. And even before we announced the fact that there were impeachment petitions to sign, people had found the ironing boards where the petitions were situated and were muscling their way through the crowd to sign them. And I have to say, there were over 600 people on an extremely snowy, blizzardy day in Ithaca, New York, that came out for this event. 2 weeks later, after the rally, we conducted a public meeting to determine how to move forward with all this energy that had been created at the rally. Nearly everyone wanted us to conduct a formal countywide impeachment petition drive. So we quickly developed a 6 or 7 page impeachment petition packet that we made available to people. A local activist organization offered us a table in their office where people could come in and pick up the packet, they could sign petitions, and then they could return petitions that they had taken around to their neighborhoods. What we learned is that you don't need a lot of people or money to do a successful impeachment petition drive. We didn't spend our time trying to formally organize a number of petitioners. Instead, and I guess now I've learned that this is a quote, the process developed organically. We encouraged people to take an impeachment petition packet if they showed interest in petitioning, and many did. We really only had about 5 or 6 people who were regularly tabling at key locations in town. Everyone else petitioned in their neighborhood, their workplaces, churches, or at social events. 6 weeks after the peace march, another group of activists in Ithaca held an impeachment rally, which helped our petition drive immensely because it secured a prominent news feature in the Ithaca Times weekly magazine. To our surprise, when we were petitioning, many people sought us out, thanking us for providing them with an opportunity to take meaningful action at the local level. And what I really loved more than anything else was having a person come up to me and say, you know, 2 weeks ago I wouldn't have signed this petition, but I've heard so many new things on the news about what the Bush administration has done, I've had it, and now I want to sign this petition and get Bush and Cheney impeached. And that was just really rewarding for me to see how a grassroots effort could work as the momentum and as the news breaks more and more information on their illegal acts, how people really are catching on and want to be involved. A mere 11 weeks after the rally, we presented petitions containing 2,600 signatures to the county board. The next evening, the petitions were presented to the Ithaca Common Council. There were over 600 city residents who had signed the county petition. Both measures passed, and John will tell you a little bit about that, those evenings.
Hi, thank you for having us. I just want to say one thing before it segues into that. One is, we're all U.S. citizens, and we're also human beings on a small planet. And I don't think all of us would agree we don't have much of a future that we would favorably contemplate unless we can make and keep international agreements. And to date, the most important one that we have made as human beings is the Law Against Aggressive War. We also call it the UN Charter, which largely started by the United States. And so, this is what brought me into this. This is a longer-term thing, and it's even more important than the Constitution, although, of course, being a treaty, it's also part of the Constitution, so we're all talking the same thing. This is really, to me, if we can't, we have to be able to keep these agreements, and the United States, in the full light of day, before the world, violated that agreement. We've done it many times before, but never quite so blatantly. And it's important to keep in mind that even if the president and every congressperson and every senator voted to invade another nation, it's still illegal under the Constitution. So we have to recognize that's the world we live in. That's the world we want to have. And those thoughts for me were formulated at the Ithaca City Council meeting. We went into that meeting with the sponsor, Maria Calls, telling us in a panic, we don't have the votes. It's 4-6 against. And so she asked us to get people there. And so we got a lot of people there, and we all, you know, spoke our hearts out and things. And then near the end, a young woman got up to the microphone, and she just told us about what people in her generation are feeling, the despair, and how they're all just ready to give up. And then with tears in her eyes, she looked at the council and begged them to give her back her hope and to give a world that they would want to live in, that she would want to live in for the future. And from that moment on, after that, her speech, all of the council people referred back to that, and it was a very powerful moment. And I'm relating that because there's a lot of unknowns here. Maybe there is, on a national level even, not quite the momentum yet, but it happened there in that meeting. I can tell you the momentum shifted. We ended up 8-2 in favor. So it is up to us to do it. Dan's right in a sense, but it is up to us. And that was one thing I wanted to say. Yeah. We obviously came here to inspire you to do this something similar as we did in Tompkins County, and so we definitely offer you any support that we can, any of our experiences and things. But the other thing the thing that we learned most is that there are a lot of progressive activists, and a lot of them want to be active. And this petition campaign, what we found is it gave people a way to be active. It wasn't another meeting or another forum or something. And we had lots and lots of people who came and just took the petitions. And then we'd come back, and there they were, back in our little table. And this happened all the time. And we had people tabling. And one of the most inspiring people is here tonight, David Cobber, who, you know, we might be burned out from hours of tabling, and then we'd go somewhere to the farmer's market or the commons, and there would be David with a big smile, just the way he was out front here with his signs and his petitions. So I just want to mention that people are going to come out. So I really urge you to get going on starting a petition campaign and recognizing that people are out there who really want to dive into this.
Going to have a question and answer period. That's an opportunity for you to weigh in. I think that this has been extremely informative, very inspiring. I think we're going to get an impeachment petition drive started now.
Good evening, everybody. I just wanted to make a statement before I ask my question, and that is, I'm one of the people, and there's several other of us, Bob Nate, Chris McConkie, who organized the impeachment rally in Ithaca, New York, and I wasn't aware that there was sharing from the Ithaca community, and I think this is very important for you to know. I started this impeachment rally because, just like the reason you're here, I'm very pissed off, and I'm very upset with our local congressman. He was invited, as Dan Lamb was invited, to be at their rally, and they did not show up, or they did not want to come. So, for me, that rally was important because on April 28th, people all over the country were calling for impeachment. And I felt that that was an important rally to also help with the petition drive. I am tired of hearing what George Bush and Cheney are doing. I want to know what Hinchey is doing, because what I keep seeing is how bad everybody else is and what other people should be doing, but what is Maurice Hinchey doing? Because in Kingston, New York, which I was not able to attend, I saw a clip of what happened in Kingston, New York, and people were angry in Kingston, New York. And I do not know why Maurice is really not here, okay? I don't have evidence to the fact that he, you know, what's keeping him from being here, because a responsible congressman would say, I will hold a town meeting, which I haven't seen in Ithaca, to hear what his constituents have to say. So if he's absent tonight, then he should make it up by having another town meeting and hearing his constituents, because his constituents, Mr. Lamb, are very angry, and they want their congressman to call for impeachment. There is no excuse, as Elizabeth De La Vega said, there is no excuse for you not to call for impeachment. So I feel...
I think this one's for me.
I think it's for you. Just a point of clarification, Maurice did indeed hold a town hall meeting in mid-March, and this issue was addressed. He did speak to the press about it as well, so he hasn't dodged the issue at all. There was a scheduling difficulty with the rally that you organized, Faye, and we commend you for organizing it, but... Well, you raised this issue, let me just address them. You ask what he's doing far more than any of his colleagues are on this issue by introducing this resolution of censure, as I alluded to in my talks earlier. Read the resolution that we have put forward. It's on our website. It's got real research and teeth in it, and we need support. And by doing this, we are moving in the right direction. So I'm sorry, but I reject this idea that Maurice isn't doing anything on this subject. He's putting his neck out, and he's putting his mind to work on this issue, and we need support. We need support all over the country for these resolutions of censure.
Let me thank our friend from Ithaca for her passion, and I want to tell you that I have seen this everywhere across this country. And your passion matters a great deal, maybe more than you know. Because I have seen many members of Congress who have resisted signing on for impeachment for very practical reasons, political reasons, and sometimes even reasons of, you know, they're not sure that it's the right time, they don't, blah, blah, blah. But when they see the passion of their constituents, I've seen many, many members move. And one of the things that I think it is important to remember is that there is an impeachment resolution in Congress today seeking the impeachment of Vice President Cheney. It's a great place to start. For those who fear that if you impeach Bush, you get Cheney, well, you start with Cheney. That's easy. And I will tell you that there are dozens of members of Congress who have signed on to that resolution. So it is a live action within Congress today. Now, I would like Maurice to sign on to that. I think Maurice should put his name on it. And I say this as a good friend of Maurice's, of the congressman who respects him immensely. And I believe that what he is doing on censure is absolutely essential. It is vital. I'm the person in the Nation magazine who wrote that censure and impeachment are complementary. They are complementary. But I would suggest that it helps the impeachment process for Maurice Hinchey to sign on to the Kucinich bill on Cheney. And certainly everyone who's on the impeachment bill should be signed on for censure. These should not be antithetical efforts. I will say one other thing, too, just to help in this process. And that is that, you know, it's important to understand that the movement to impeach George Bush and Dick Cheney is dramatically further along, dramatically larger, dramatically more accomplished, dramatically more supported in Congress than the movement to impeach Richard Nixon was just months before he was removed from office. There are dozens of members who have signed on to an impeachment resolution. 45% of Americans, according to the Survey USA poll in July, believe Bush should be impeached. 55% believe Cheney should be impeached. Those numbers are higher than for Nixon in the spring of 1974. I would just tell you that the impeachment movement is real, it is vital, and it is what you're doing here, this pressure that you're putting on your congressman, which I think is actually supportive pressure. This supportive pressure on your congressman. No, it is. Because, and I'll close with this, just my member of Congress, Tammy Baldwin, resisted signing on for impeachment until she heard from enough people in Madison and central Wisconsin. And one day she called up and she said, you know, I've been hearing from Nancy Pelosi that we shouldn't do this, and there's a lot of pressure. But I just woke up this morning and it occurred to me, Nancy Pelosi doesn't elect me to Congress. You people do. And you want to keep it.
Thank you. I have another question, please.
Hi, I'm on the board of the Boone County Peace Action, and I want to thank all the panelists who are here today. Thank you again on behalf of the board for being here tonight, and thank everybody who's here tonight. It looks like there's about 400 people, and this is amazing, this is fantastic. I have two points I want to say. The first one is to reiterate what our friend from Ithaca, John, said about international law. The Nuremberg Tribunal and their judgment said that wars of aggression are the supreme international crime. Wars of aggression are the supreme international crime. We're talking life and death here. We're talking law. We're not just talking emotion. We're talking law. We're talking basics. We're talking biblical yes and no. I think we need to recognize that. When we're talking about the supreme international crime, we will all be judged for that.
The poll that you cited said that 45% favored impeaching Bush, and then you said more were opposed. The figure was 46. That's only 1%. That's not even statistically significant. It doesn't mean anything. What it actually means is that there is a huge group of people in this country who, despite the fact that they get almost no encouragement from their leaders, already want to impeach this president. So what it argues for is that congressman, and I want to just focus on Maurice, who already believes that the president has committed impeachable offenses to the extent that he would propose a resolution of censure, should be feel well supported in going forward with a resolution of impeachment, because if there are grounds for censure, there are grounds for impeachment. And that is leadership. And if Maurice Hinchey were not somebody whom everybody believed was willing to do the right thing, then nobody would be trying to get you to convince him. And nobody would be even trying to make this argument. If you were John Kyle or something, nobody would be trying.
It's
Actually, I did get invited to Tucson. Yeah. But and there's one other thing I want to say about how widespread this movement is. I don't think the mainstream media doesn't even remotely reflect how widespread this movement is. It is very widespread. And when you actually talk to people about it, the most unlikely people, I talk to on a plane or whatever, and they say, you know, I end up saying I wrote a book, and they say, what's it about? And I say, oh, you might not like it if you like President Bush. And they said, what is it? And I said, it's a hypothetical indictment. And they said, I want to impeach that guy. People want to talk about this. They want leadership. And that's what we are all here asking for.
I came down from Rochester, where I'm represented by Louise Slaughter, who's a good old progressive. She's probably, you know, historically an excellent to be supported person, but currently she is failing us. And I want to say that as much as Mr. Lamb's comments made me squirm in some ways, and I was reacting to this overall failure of the Democrats to take leadership, as was just said, I want to say that I think Congressman Hinchey is ahead of Louise Slaughter. She has at least signed the Progressive Caucus's letter pledging not to fund the Iraq war anymore except for redeployment. We cannot get Louise Slaughter to sign that letter. We cannot get an explanation. We cannot even get really good reactions from her, you know, constituent time with her. She also has given us what seems to be the form letter on impeachment. Not enough time. No votes, the same old story. So I want to thank you for coming, and I believe that she would not come to a panel and would not even send a staff member like this. So having said all that, Mr. Lamb.
Call me Dan.
Is the current occupation of Iraq legal or illegal? And if anyone else wants to respond, too, but I'd like Mr. Lamb's.
Well, Maurice has said it was an illegal invasion and a botched occupation. That's his quickest way of describing the situation in terms of whether Congress did not declare a war, and you know, we could say that this invasion is illegal. That's what he said on record. So, the occupation, is that legal or illegal? Yeah, it's kind of hard to have that construct. If it's an illegal invasion, it's kind of hard to say it's a legal occupation. Maurice has just said that we need to get out, and he was one of those members of Congress who voted for a six-month withdrawal time back in May. We had 172 members of Congress vote for a withdrawal plan that would start no less than 6 months from the enactment of the bill in May. Of course, we fell short on that. And again, that serves as a trial balloon of just how difficult it is to get a majority of Congress behind the right policies that we're hoping for here on the war.
Let me just tell you that you're exactly right about how difficult it is to get Congress to go to the right place. That is why Congress's approval rating now is 10 points below George Bush's. Well, what do you do when you are in a difficult spot? What do you do when you're in a place where there are not the votes in the House or the Senate to end this war? And there are not going to be the votes in the House and the Senate to end this war before January 20th, 2009. That is reality. That is what top anti-war members of Congress tell me all the time. So, the question is, well, what do you do then? You got this Congress. you don't have the critical mass to end the war. So you say, well, we really can't do much then. You know, I guess we're going to have to, you know, send nice notes when mothers in our district lose a son in the war or something like that. Well, I thought that, you know, I didn't know what the answer was until Daniel Ellsberg, who was the Pentagon Papers guy, the guy who revealed the illegality of the Vietnam War, said to me about last year, he said, you know, God, you know, you are on the exact right thing with this impeachment stuff. And I said, well, of course I am. I wrote a book about it. And he said, no, you're on the right thing if you want to end the war. And I said, well, what do you mean by that, Daniel? He said, you know, I put the Pentagon Papers out in the early 1970s, and I thought, well, that's going to end the war in a second. And yet that war kept on going. And so I worked for George McGovern in 72. I said, well, that's going to end the war. We're going to elect George. And he didn't win. That war just kept on going. And they invaded Cambodia. They kept doing worse things, even though you had this massive anti-war movement, even though you had all these members of Congress trying to defund the war, McGovern, Hatfield, Republicans, Democrats. Nothing happened. So then a funny thing happened. Somebody said, impeach. And if you go back and look at the Nixon tapes, and I did this at Daniel's advice, when they started talking about impeachment, Richard Nixon started calling congressional leaders and saying, well, maybe we could talk about Cambodia a little bit. When he started saying, well, we got an impeachment resolution, we got members signed on, Nixon called and said, well, you know, maybe we could talk a little bit more about Vietnam. Maybe that bombing should stop. And the fact of the matter is, as Daniel Ellsberg, a much smarter man than I, said, and I write about this in the book, the bottom line reality is the only way that we end this war before we end George Bush's, before George Bush finishes his presidency by the normal means, is to raise an outcry for impeachment so loud, get it taken up in Congress to a point where George Bush starts to hear the word and fear the word. That is where you begin to create the real counter pressure to the war. The bumper sticker says impeach for peace, and that is exactly the reality of our circumstance. And I'll tell you one other thing, one final thing. There have been 9 attempts in the history of this republic to impeach a president. In those 9 instances, at the next election, the party that brought the proposal to impeach either maintained or improved its position in Congress. The people reward impeachment. They punish the failure to stand up and do the right thing.
Tell Mo that I call him every couple of weeks, and I call you. I want it on the table. I want him impeached. I want them impeached. That's important. Number one. Number two, you all know the reason why you don't know how popular the idea is in this country, and that is because the mainstream media is absolutely controlled by the same people that control the majority of the Congress. Right. I'll give you one simple example, having been part of it myself. Doug McCordendale, the chief executive officer of Gannett. Gannett owns, among other things, the Ithaca Urinal, the Elmira Star Gazette, and your own press with some bull in it. And by the way, it's also, he's the CEO of USA Today, and dozens of radio companies, and dozens of television stations. And by the way, did you know he's on the board of directors of Lockheed Martin? Check it out. Okay, and I got all the instructions I need right here. It's the Constitution of the United States of America. This Constitution says that they shall be impeached. They shall be impeached for treason. They shall be impeached for bribery. And they shall be impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors. And if causing the events of 9/11 wasn't high crimes and misdemeanors, and it wasn't treason, then I'll be damned if I know what is. We got an independent investigation of 9/11 because we know that we were not told the truth.
You've been listening to a forum held last week in Binghamton, New York, on the evidence for and the urgent need of the impeachment of George Bush and Dick Cheney for high crimes and misdemeanors.